I don't know when the effective date was, it's not for a little bit.
He's just not checking.
Okay. Good? We're good? Okay, good, thank you. Welcome, everyone, thanks so much for being here, it's great to see all of you. Today is Tuesday, February 20th, 2024, this is the City Council Study Meeting for the City of South Jordan. My name is Dawn Ramsey, I have the privilege of serving as mayor of the City of South Jordan with this outstanding city council seated here next to me. We're going to excuse Mrs. Zander this evening and welcome our team. Thanks to our administrative staff and team, members of the public who are here with us, planning commission, we've got folks here with us, we've got presenters here, so welcome to all of you. And anyone joining us online or who will watch this in the future, we welcome you. We will open this meeting tonight with an invocation by our Director of City Commerce, Mr. Brian Priest.
Our kind and gracious Father in heaven, we're indeed grateful for the opportunity we have to meet in this free country and in this beautiful city. We're grateful that we have the opportunity to plan our own destiny and to do the things that are best for our residents and the city as a whole. And we ask thee to bless all those that work for the city and who administer and lead the city, that they'll be guided and that they'll be able to understand those things that are of need and make great choices that will continue to keep the city growing in the right direction. And we say these things humbly in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, very quickly, before we move to C, I am going to ask if we can amend the agenda. We have a presentation in our executive closed session, and for scheduling purposes, we need to move that from the end up to the beginning of this meeting. So I'm going to ask if I can get a motion to amend the agenda to move item F, our executive closed session, for the discussion of the purchase, exchange, release of real property, up to the next item on the agenda, and everything else would move down one.
So moved.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Jason, second that?
Yes.
Yeah. So moved, Madam Mayor.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Because it's a closed session.
Mayor, we're good. We're good? All right. Welcome back. Okay, we are back in our open meeting. Thank you all for your patience as we amended that agenda. Item C, we have mayor and council coordination. Does anybody have anything urgent that you need to bring up tonight?
Anything for Thursday, your state of the city?
Yes, I was going to bring this up in there. But if you are able to come, what I'd like to do at the very start, right after Jay opens it and welcomes and then introduces me, is I would like to bring the council out on stage and say we're going to hear about a lot of, you know, some great updates about the great things happening in the city, and none of it would happen without our fantastic staff and this city council. And I would really like to just highlight the leadership of the city council and have you come out on stage and be there. And then you'll be excused to go sit down and we'll proceed with the program. Is that okay? You good with that? You're
That's
all
great.
Invited to bring a plus one or a plus two, as you know, that I don't know if you do know. It's stressing me out, freaking me out. That our friends at the post office did not deliver the invitations. Most people didn't get them until 9 to 10 days. Nine to 10 days after they were mailed. So,
can
I have anybody there?
Councilmember Harris's was returned just today.
Okay.
Today's
so, you have any. We have State of the City Thursday, yeah. And if anybody can come, we'd love to have you. Bring everyone you know, because at this point, we have a lot of folks that didn't ever receive their invitation.
Remind me the time again on that.
6:30 is the reception.
6:30 for the reception, program at 7. It'll be done by 8. Yeah, and it'll be lovely.
I wonder why.
I got it on my calendar.
Thank you. But
sure, it'll be done by 8.
Telling you,
yeah,
that's the goal.
I saw all those speakers. I figured
we're keeping it quick.
She's going to have a buzzer.
No, my reminder email to them is that we're aiming for 5 minutes. And I did say, but we're flexible because we're kind of asking them to fit a lot into that much time. But yeah, they're on it and they're excited about it. And I saw Steve Starks at the Capitol today and he's looking forward to it. And said it was the last speaking engagement he agreed to be part of for a while because he's trying to, like, you know, save his sanity and cut back on his schedule. And then he said today somebody at the Capital asked him to speak to the Rotary Club, and he said, I said yes. And I said, of course you did. But we're glad to be here.
Does his wife know that yet?
So, yeah, it should be good. So if you guys are able to be there, I'd love to bring you out and welcome you.
I'm planning on being there, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay. Bring your folks. We'll have nice stuff for them. Okay. The only item on our council meeting, as you'll recall, tonight's the night we kind of hoped to have our budget meeting. And then everything that apparently was hypothetically going to show up on the schedule did not. So we moved something from next time to this time so we actually have any agenda item. So we have a resolution to establish the Healthy South Jordan Coalition. It's different than the one we used to have, which was run by the county. That's not a thing anymore. So this is our own in-house, in-city Healthy South Jordan committee. So that's the sum total of our agenda.
Yeah, this is, remember you asked us to pursue that designation as one of the healthy communities that you see presented at the Utah Leagues of Cities and Town Conferences. This is the first step to really memorialize and move that program forward. And so we're getting that in place so that we can house all of that programming under an umbrella. And it will reside in recreation with Director Payne managing this aspect of our operations.
I appreciate that. I think it'll be great. We go to that every year, and when they highlight the projects that these cities are doing to receive that designation, we're always doing that and more. Always. You know, I don't people have that hard of a time receiving the Healthy City designation. This is a step in that, and I think it's a good thing. So anyway, that is our only agenda item tonight. So we could be done by 7, potentially. Who knows? We'll see.
Let's go for
we'll
it.
See. So yeah, we're going to try. Okay. And now, item E. Thank you for your patience. Thanks for hanging in there with us. We appreciate you guys being here. We're going to turn to Jeremy Nelson, our deputy city engineer and transportation engineer. Jeremy, we appreciate you being here. We're going to let you introduce everybody else and talk about the great work that you guys are doing as you present the transportation master plan. And then we'll also get an update on the 9800 South development solutions. So take
great.
It away.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor, City Council. Thanks for letting us be here. So we're in the process of updating our transportation master plan. Our master plan was adopted in 2019. And so since then, there's been the Rio Tinto area that's been annexed and some other kind of minor changes. Bangor Highway, you know, is continuing to be converted to a freeway. And so it's a good chance for us to update our transportation master plan. And so that's what we're in the middle of doing right now. And so we wanted to give you an update of a snapshot of where we're at right now. And this is Jeremy Searle and Tim Taylor with WCG Consultants. And they're gonna kind of walk you through the story map that we've prepared.
Okay. Really happy to be here tonight and talk with you. First of all, we have to say we really love working with your staff and everybody here at South Jordan. You guys are amazing, and we love to work with you. As Jeremy said, we're working on the Transportation Master Plan. It's a good idea to update these about every 5 years. One, for those reasons that he talked about, things change over time. But also, it's a good chance to look at the projects you've completed over the last 5 years and look at what's coming up next in the next 5 to 10 and then even longer. And then also a chance to look at your impact fees, because those are always changing. And as we know, inflation has also taken a toll over recent years. So it's a good time to be looking at that again and making sure that that's up to date. When we do a transportation master plan, one of the first things I want to point out is we do look at our goals and vision. We set those are based on things that you've already done, and we look at a lot of the previous studies that have been done by your planning and engineering staff. So this isn't done in a vacuum. This is done looking at a lot of those things that have already been planned: land use plans, population growth, different things like that. So you'll see some information here on the story map about, you know, the trends in the city and how it's grown from, you know, just over 7,000 back in 1980 to over 77,000 now. And we expect
Well over 77,000 now,
yep.
4 years later, yeah.
And we expect those trends to continue, right? I mean, there's a lot of growth still happening. We look at travel patterns and where people are going and where they're coming to. I'm trying to go through fast, so I apologize because I know we're a little short on time. So I'm just going to jump right.
Can you actually, yeah. I want to see this.
Sure.
That's information we were just actually talking about. Dustin and I were just talking about this a couple days ago. And I wondered if we had these numbers.
Yeah. So these come from the travel to work surveys. And roughly you're seeing just under 25,000 people coming in to South Jordan for work every day. And about 27,000 leaving.
I'm going to take
leaving.
A picture yeah. of that just for reference, and hopefully I can get these slides, but that would be a good data.
We'll get you, this is available online. That'd we'll get great. You a link to this.
That number higher than I thought it was. The number of people entering South Jordan for work. That's
a lot higher yeah. than I thought it was. Yeah.
Literally Friday?
We just had this conversation Friday morning.
This was the data we were looking for.
I
so I'm happy to see
where I was
going to
find these numbers.
This is what I was just telling Dustin we need to know.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Good. And like Jeremy said, this is on the story map. You can go in, and I'll show some maps here in a minute. And again, because we have to go through quick, you can always come in later and zoom in and zoom out and click on the projects and see what they are, when they're planned, what they include. So there's a lot of information in the story map that you can gather on your own or look at closer.
Thank you.
Yes.
Like, no, you have no idea how timely that is.
No, that's yeah. good. Okay. So the first thing we want to talk about quickly is active transportation, okay? And there's a lot of different things that are planned in the community. bike lanes, buffered bike lanes, multi-use paths, kind of shared bikeways. So you can see those here in the map. The different colors represent those different types of facilities. These are existing facilities, and then we'll look at future facilities here in just a minute. But you've got a pretty good existing network, but there are some gaps here. And that's one of the things that we went through and updated was your active transportation plan to try and address some of those gaps and look at you know, where there are key destinations, where people are going, and how they can get there on a bicycle or by walking. So I want to point out here, these are phase one project. So when I say phase one, that's in the next 10 years. Okay, so these are kind of the next step for the city is let's focus on these phase one projects. And so we've got those on the map here. And I just want to point out, you've got some really good north-south connectivity through here with these canal trails. But east-west travel is a little bit of a challenge, and that's true for both roadway and for active transportation. And I'm just trying to set the table here a little bit for your next discussion, but those east-west active transportation corridors are really key, right? And so you'll notice one here, this project two up on Shields Lane, that's a key one. So I'm sure you'll hear more about that, but those active transportation east-west corridors are key. We also have kind of this west area with some stuff down here with the Rio Tinto annexation. These are some trails that they have tentatively planned. And so those have been added to the master plan here. I'm going to keep going. So these are phase two projects. So this is after 2034. Okay, so that'd be the next 10 years. So out there a little ways, but you can see those there. And then phase three projects. And these are out between 2043 and 2050, so it's a long ways out. There's not a ton out that far, mostly out here on the very west side. Okay, we'll talk transit real fast. So this is your existing transit map.
Real fast, it doesn't take
it
long
does,
to tell
it doesn't
you
take
how much
long.
Transit
there's,
we have.
There's not a lot going on out here, right?
It's like 218.
Yeah, you've got a bus route here. It runs every 60 minutes.
Oh, we still do have that bus route?
I'm never going to not see that.
That's what UTA tells us.
It's got 60-minute headways, though, so.
Yeah, but I think people on bus about every 15 minutes, so.
Yeah.
And excellent service.
The red line here. So, as far as planned projects, again, it's not going to take us long to talk about them because there's not a whole lot on here. But there is the extension here, potentially of the red line or of a BRT or some other type of facility, right? So a new station and some improvements to the station here, a core bus route. Into the front runner station here. So those are kind of what's planned, although
The core bus route into that station, though, comes from Sandy.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It doesn't even.
You're correct.
It doesn't really serve us.
It kind of runs north-south over here in Sandy.
Yeah.
It connects the tracks, the blue line to the front runner, though,
yeah.
is one benefit,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
To the public.
But imagine if we had a bus route that connected tracks to front runner in our own city.
I completely agree with you. It'd be really nice to have something kind of east-west through here.
Yeah.
UTA and WFRC are doing a study right now to look at transit in this southwest quadrant because you're not alone in this. Harriman, Bluffdale, Riverton, you know, we're all kind of having those same struggles. So that is a study that just barely kicked off.
It's about to kick off.
About to
the
kick
fresh
off.
Fresh look is what
that's
we're calling
what it's,
it. The
that's
transit,
what it's called.
Southwest Valley Transit Fresh Look. And
yeah.
We have fought hard to make this happen and say we've got to look at this again and we've got to consider some additional metrics like growth. Right? And some of and we need to be aware of the way planning impacts our ability to get this done or not done, but we're just not gonna let this go. So
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Mary, for pushing for that. That's such a huge thing. And that that study I think is a good opportunity for the city too.
I think so. And we're hosting that. Yeah.
Mayor, can I ask a question?
Please.
There's nothing west of what you're showing, I assume.
Right? Yeah, that's correct. Okay, any other questions on transit?
Just trying to remember what day we're doing that. Is it Monday? Yes, Monday. The Transit Fresh Look meeting is at our public safety building Monday at 3 o'clock to kick it off. Anyway, just FYI, WFRC and some of us from all the cities will be there to get it going, but we're going to get that going again.
Okay.
UTA, UDOT, everybody.
There's a gondola on our.
It's only a couple billion dollars. We've put it into your impact fees. It'll be fine. No. No gondola over here.
That would be so cool, though.
It would be.
It would be something.
You'll be the next year. It's not been very cool. Yeah.
I'm not going to spend time on the travel demand model, but this is some technical analysis we do to look at demand on your roadways and what is failing or will fail in the future. So we're going to kind of go faster here in interest of time.
And maybe one thing to highlight on that is
mm-hmm.
WCG does the travel demand model for Larry H. Miller. And so
mm-hmm.
that was a huge benefit, you know, with looking at all this is we know that we're using the numbers, that the same numbers that Larry H. Miller is using, you know, as we're,
yeah,
as we're
that,
looking at travel demands.
That is really key. And Tim, I don't know if you want to comment on that.
Well, it's just a matter of recognizing the grid network, which is unique, right?
Mm-hmm.
And versus the traditional way of these large 1 mile spacings and things like that. So it's helpful.
But you look at the travel demand model network through here compared to what WFRC has out here. You know, it's quite different. And so we've really done a great job of narrowing that down and getting a much denser grid through here and being able to model that
good
in more
connectivity,
detail.
Better connectivity.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. So here we'll look at projects. So this is done by phase. Okay. So phase one, let me make this bigger here. So these are roadway projects. Phase one is in red. So that's in the next 10 years. And then the blue is 2033 to 2042. And then the purple is phase three, so out to 2050. So you'll notice those are the really long range ones, clear out here on the west side. And then Mountain View has some future improvements with some more widening there. But initially, right, they're putting in the freeway here pretty soon. They're working on that. And I know the city's been coordinating there. We have some other key projects. East-west on 114th, we do show a widening project. This one's a little bit unique in that we're showing three westbound lanes and two eastbound lanes, so a lane imbalance on here. And that was due to a study that was done.
That's the solutions development study we did about a year ago with UDOT.
Yeah.
That's in line with that study.
Yep. And it lines up with the modeling that we've been doing, so that makes sense. Riverfront Parkway has a project here with some widening there on the south end. And then South Jordan Parkway, we show going to seven lanes out here to Bangor Highway in the next 10 years. 4000 West. This is a striping project, but it would also go to 5 lanes. So not necessarily widening, but restriping it to have 2 lanes each direction. So
I still have concerns over that project, especially between 104 South and 114 South, specifically kind of more towards the 106 South end. We built those neighborhoods without adequate parking, so there's tons of on-street parking. We restripe that road, we're going to have a parking nightmare to have to address. And traffic right now, I mean, I realize this is looking, you know, 10 years down the road, but it just doesn't seem like traffic keeps increasing that much along 40th. I
mean, it's pretty built out around there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty built out. And only time we really see, it seems like traffic increases, is when we have projects on Bangor, which we're finally starting to get those wrapped up. So I still kind of question the long-term need to that project.
That's a great question. We'll have another look at that one. It is, when you look at the modeling, and Jeremy can speak to this a little more than I can, but it is borderline whether that is needed or not. You know, whether we need to go to those 5 lanes, and I totally understand where you're coming from with the parking issue. We've got the same, the staff has the same concerns.
So there, to me, I mean, I'd let you guys, you know, do your evaluation, of course, but if there's a, maybe move that one to more like a phase two, if there's something on phase two that could maybe be better served as a phase one.
And let that area play. There's some ways we could stripe it to keep some parking on there too. So we could do that. So I don't think we have to eliminate all the parking. You might have to eliminate some.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you. I drive that road quite often, and I have seen the volume go up significantly, at least north of 104. But it could be partly because everybody has to stop at Bangor 98th, and I think they're coming off at 90th and coming around.
They
so
do.
We'll be interested to see when that interchange is done, if it
changes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because nobody wants to wait for 12 minutes
to get
a light.
Yeah, no one wants to wait.
Yep. No, absolutely. All good comments. Jeremy's right. That we've talked about this project actually, and that volume is kind of on that threshold of when we would go to 3 or 5. So maybe it is something that we can push back a phase or something like that. So good comments. Okay, more projects out here on the west side. Obviously, this is kind of where a lot of the new growth is happening. This is kind of the newer area with Rio Tinto. These are, again, tentative plans, but this is kind of what we're seeing down there.
So the realignment of U-111 is not set to happen for 10 years or more, between 10 and 20 years from now?
Sorry, there's two projects here.
Yeah.
So one of two here. So the first one, we split this up because we just found out recently. Initially, the plan was to take U-111 and have it be a new road to the south with 5 lanes. Mm-hmm. They don't have enough money to do that, and so they're initially building it just with 2 lanes.
One lane in each direction.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And so that's the phase one project, is 1 lane in each direction. And then the phase two project is to widen that out to 5.
I'll talk with that project manager if it's still the same one.
Who's they? They is UDOT?
Is it still one lane?
They
UDOT.
Is the state?
It's UDOT.
Yeah, and we just had a big meeting on that last Thursday, and so their plan is right now to buy the right-of-way and build 1 lane in each direction, but put the turn lanes in where all the future streets will come in, and then come back later and widen the 5 lanes. I have big concerns on that, because how do we preserve the right-of-way for the 5 lanes? And preserving that, so I don't. It's still an ongoing saga. Them trying to find more money. I don't know. Ryan has heard. I know there's different people lobbying the state to get more money for that project. So it's kind of evolving as we speak. And Tim was in that meeting with us earlier Thursday, and so it's. First, Juan Lee said they're only going to go from 118 down to 126, but then Robert Stewart jumped in and said no. I've committed to go from South Jordan Parkway all the way down to the new 126.
Yeah.
Right.
And we'll find the money to lease that. So like I said, it's kind of evolving a little bit, especially with funding.
My understanding is that
have one over for dinner.
Last year, the entire project was included from New Bingham through the Shorthead. the entire project was included. That this year, unless then they went back to legislature because UDOT said there wasn't enough money to do it, and there was another $1 billion put into UDOT's budget for the completion of several projects, including this one. And so that I know was the intent of those who put the money in the budget and the project of the budget last year. How UDOT does that is once it's given to them, it's under.
Let's talk about strategizing and how to insert ourselves here.
Yeah.
into this conversation because
part of it that
that's never what it was supposed to be.
The discussion has been like Brad said, one person say one thing and the next another.
Yeah.
We make commitments. What we don't want to do anyway, we can talk about strategy. If they're willing to fulfill the commitments without us rattling the cage too much, that's always best. But if we need to, we
yeah.
move the document.
I don't know if we can move that needle, but it's worth trying.
Oh, we can.
Okay, we'll see.
I agree, it's worth
it's
trying.
Worth trying.
Absolutely.
I just don't think one lane in each direction, that's not going to serve it at all, especially when you consider the volumes that the whole reason it was approved to be five lanes.
Okay. Well, it just makes the project more expensive because
so
you're doing it twice.
Yeah.
You have enough money to do it wrong the first time, and double the money right there.
So, the whole length of it, it would be a very important thing.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll talk and see, but
yeah.
Okay.
I want more information about who's making those decisions.
What's the project on 118th? What is that?
Right here?
Further west.
Oh, out here.
That's where I was looking.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just the continued widening as
it's needed.
Yeah, out to five lanes.
Yep.
Part of it's been built that way already.
Yes. Can we get Harriman to restripe their side of the road? It's fun teaching your daughter how to drive when there's no picking up the road.
It's a mess.
It really is. It's a complete mess out there.
We actually do have a coordination meeting with Harriman in a week or two, and we're going to talk about some projects right on the border here where signals go and projects and things like that. So we could put that on.
We'll bring it up.
Yeah. Yeah. But my daughters, they're like, where's the lines, Dad?
Well, I started teaching.
Yes, yeah, it was.
Yeah. Now I'm glad you're having those conversations.
Any other questions on roadway projects?
So does Mountain View still have to have the bus line in before they are willing to do that?
My understanding is the environmental committed to having the 5600 West transit or bus line in before it could become a freeway.
And I think there's a bill in this session to fund that, right? I thought I saw something.
It was on the Transportation Commission agenda.
UTA is looking at putting on a project for that in the next year to start design for that.
We don't know that there's a separate bill for it.
But
some funding is still somewhere.
I thought from Porter Rockwell into West Jordan, they were going to be starting to do the infill and adding the center lanes shortly.
After they get the 5600 West project done.
It's not what I was heard.
Our section through, and they have to finish from Porter Rockwell down to 2100 North, which they are underway,
right.
And they have to get the transit in place on 5600 West.
Mm-hmm.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it only goes down to West Jordan. Right?
It goes to the old Bingham Highway.
The old Bingham Highway.
The transit
correct.
Line.
Yeah.
But once Granville is complete, including the portion that our city is doing through West Jordan, it will jog and still connect, right?
Correct.
Am I wrong? And it will take it all the way. It'll be another corridor all the way from the north to the south to South Jordan and eventually to Harriman Town Center. Is that right? Okay.
We never get the right of way.
We won't have transit there, but we'll have a road that connects at least. Yeah.
That's
fine. Brad.
I ain't looking.
Okay. I won't spend a lot of time on this map, but it's the same projects. It's just color-coded by the type of projects. So the red are new roadways. Blue is widening. The green is operations or restriping, like we talked about here. Okay, let's talk intersections real fast, and then we'll be done so I can leave some time for the next agenda item. Okay, so these are intersection projects. So many of these are signals. You'll see quite a few signals down the new Highway 111 right here. some on 118th with Harriman, and that's again what we'll be coordinating with them on, is making sure that these are all in the right place. Some new signals here. Some phase two projects out at some of your busiest intersections here on Redwood.
A new signal at 40th and 114th?
Right here.
A modification. Possibly doing that through turn intersection that UDOT was considering with the solutions development study.
Okay, thank you.
An improvement up here at Shields Lane and 13th West or Tumble Drive, that westbound right turn pocket there.
That's good.
Yeah. So anyway, those are some intersection improvements planned over the next 20 years. Oops. Okay. That's my scope. If there are other questions, I'm happy to answer them, but that's kind of a quick overview of the work we're doing on the master plan. Our next steps will be to put together a capital facilities plan, put together cost estimates for these, and then start working through the impact fee discussions. So that's where we're at. We would love any feedback or other things that you might have. You should have a link to this. You can put any comments in and send those to Jeremy or myself, and we'll get those addressed.
You a link, and if there's any further questions, feel free and reach out to me or provide them now if you'd like to.
Yep. Yeah.
I have one question about 114th South.
Okay.
Oh, that's the new light just east of Redwood Road. I know what that is. Never mind.
Yeah.
Nope, got it.
And we're getting close to bidding that out.
Okay. Yeah, I do know what that is.
Is that the one that would connect in for our subdivision on the other side?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, never mind. I'm familiar.
Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate
we
it.
Appreciate
thank
you the opportunity to come and talk.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being part of this and working closely with us, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right. Thank you.
The next item will be pretty quick, I think. WCG's stepping down. We've got Parametric here.
Thanks, you guys.
So we're just starting a study on Shields Lane. The city's received some grant funding that we applied for through Wasatch Front Regional Council to study Shields Lane. And it's Shields Lane is a complicated corridor because it's an east-west corridor, so there's a lot of traffic demand, you know, for vehicles to get east-west. But then also it's got homes that are fronting onto it. It's got three schools that are immediately adjacent to it. As you saw in the active transportation plan, there's multiple trails that could potentially connect, you know, to that east-west corridor. And I'm just worried that if we don't connect those north-south trails and we don't have good east-west, you know, connection, people are just going to travel through our city and they're not going to be able to recreate and shop and do the things that they want to do in the city. And so we need to be a little bit proactive in how we look at Shields Lane. And so that's the purpose of this study, is to look at the potential to make it a little bit more accommodating to pedestrians and cyclists, and by doing that, what the impact would be to vehicle traffic. And so we've hired, we're working with Wasatch Front Regional Council and we've hired the Parametrics team to have a look at this. And so this is Kai and Tim. And we're, as I mentioned, we're right at the front end of the study, but I know there's probably going to be some phone calls, questions. And so we wanted to kind of inform you guys what was happening before you started receiving phone calls on this project. So I guess with that, Kai.
Thanks. Yeah, is this?
Yeah, I think that hopefully is.
Just use the key. The
yeah,
mouse.
Maybe just use the mouse. Yeah.
Okay, one. Great. And one other thing to point out in Shields Lane, which makes it unique for active transportation, is the underpass at I-15,
yeah,
and then the overpass at Bangor. So it's a really attractive corridor, and there's not really a good opportunity to get over I-15 until you go very far north or very far south. So.
Sorry, along that line, one more point to make with Shields Lane is when you look at Strava data, which is an app that they use to track, you know, pedestrians and cyclists, it's the busiest corridor in the Southwest Quadrant. You know, it's
really
heavily used by cyclists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, so it's something, I think it's something that we need to really have a careful look at.
I don't know that I would have guessed that. So that's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, despite the kind of general lack of facility, you know, just regular sidewalks and a shoulder there now. So great. Well, thanks, everyone. Appreciate your time today. So with the Shields Lane Solutions Development Study, we're looking to kind of replicate UDOT's solutions development process, which the city went through on 114 South. And so that process is basically a planning process to really clearly understand the unique context and needs of a project or a corridor, and then tailor solutions to that. So it's not like, oh, we've got lots of traffic, let's just widen. You know, it's really understanding the conditions and coming up with solutions that meet those needs very specifically, and also looking at the needs of the community, not just looking at traffic level service or other things like that. And so with our process, there's kind of four main keys to that. First being a really robust public engagement process. And we have Tim Sullivan here at Township and Range as part of the consultant team that's leading up that effort. And then the project itself kind of occurs over three distinct phases. The first phase is establishing the context and understanding the values and goals for the corridor. And there's kind of two main components to that. The first being an existing conditions analysis, where we really look at the data. We've done traffic counts for both vehicles, pedestrians, and cyclists at all signalized intersections along the corridor. So we'll really take in and look at that information. We've looked at safety data, looking at trends and crash patterns along the corridor. And we're also going to look at peer cities or case studies to see similar corridors or other applications and seeing about, you know, how other cities or communities have handled similar kind of contexts. And then another main piece of phase one is establishing the vision, the goals and objectives for the study. And so that's really what Tim's going to talk about a little bit and a little bit later. But so with that, we'll understand kind of the goals and objectives. And that's really led by our stakeholder group and community engagement. The second phase is the problem phase of the project. And here we're going to establish the criteria and needs for the corridor. So really starting to understand what it needs. We'll establish an evaluation system so that we can kind of test potential solutions against the needs and objectives of the corridor. We'll do some traffic modeling, looking at the conditions, and that will help us also, again, test different solutions and their impact to vehicle travel, the impact to traffic level of stress, which is another thing we'll look at that is a measurement of the stress a pedestrian or cyclist experiences from vehicle traffic along a corridor. And so at the end of that, we will have a memo that summarizes the problems and needs of the corridor, which will take us into the final phase, which is a solutions phase. And here we will kind of nail down the preferred suite of solutions across the corridor and kind of take that to the next step. So looking at concept designs, looking at different cross-sections, intersection layouts, and ultimately getting to a cost estimate. And then the final piece is an action plan. So taking that corridor vision and breaking it up into implementable chunks that we can kind of phase into potentially. So that's kind of the planning process. Looking at kind of the schedule for the project, we're looking at an 8-month schedule. We started kind of the first of the year. We're about halfway through phase one, just wrapping up the existing conditions analysis. And then the next step is to go through the kick off the steering committee and do our values and goals. Which will take us into the spring, and then phase two will kind of work through the spring, and then hopefully phase three will conclude by the end of the summer. And so with that, I'm going to let Tim talk a little bit more about the public engagement process, since it's so critical to
just
the project.
Just real quick, could you go back to that schedule?
Yeah.
You can see we're planning to do those three open houses. Our goal is to come back to council right before those open houses, just so that the council's aware of the status of the project before we do the open houses, so that you stay informed. That was it. Thanks.
Great. So really important to hear from stakeholders in the public about Shields Lane. So it's really at the forefront of this project. So we have different processes for the stakeholders on one hand and the public on the other. So the stakeholders, we're looking for, you know, specific perspectives to be represented of people that live, work, play along Shields Lane. So we've developed a stakeholder committee. We spent the last, you know, month or so getting folks on that. I think some of you guys are serving on that.
I'd like to know who from the city is serving on that.
Yeah. Councilman Harris and Johnson are both on there. And then we've got myself, Schaffermeyer, and Brad. And then we've got a kind of a mixture. Merit Medical will be there. Five residents will be on the committee. And then who else might, there's a couple of school representatives.
Yeah, some active transportation.
A bike advocate, a running advocate. Yep. Yeah.
From the active transportation folks, where are they from?
From South Jordan, right?
Yeah, from South Jordan.
Oh,
Mike West, yeah. I don't know if you know him, but he's a resident here that's an avid bike advocate. He'll be on the committee. So we try to get
that's
a good
great.
Good mixture.
That's all I wondered. I appreciate it. Sounds
yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. So that group will help us make kind of key decisions. They'll really be the sounding board, the backbone of the process, and really be kind of talking about the needs for the corridor from all these different perspectives. Really also helping us with, effectively reaching out to the public, interpreting what the public says. So that'll happen over about four meetings over the course of the project. And that'll be a real kind of relationship between what happens at these meetings and then with the outreach for the public as well. So we're kicking that committee off on March 7th. With public engagement, the idea is that we'll have three phases of engagement that include both in-person engagement and online engagement. So we'll have opportunities for in-person with open houses. We've also talked about going to different existing South Jordan events, the Spring Spectacular, Summerfest, those types of events. And then also online engagement. So not everybody can come to these events. So it's been really effective to engage people through surveys, through interactive maps, project website. So there'll be a lot of different opportunities for people to give their feedback.
And we do have a website available now. It's shieldslane.com.
Yeah.
And we're just, as I mentioned, at the front end of this, so that's we're still updating that.
Yeah.
That website. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Any questions on what we're doing? We're not planning to widen. We're not, you know, I know there's going to be calls. There's no construction plans. This is just a high level planning, you know, is what we're looking at.
Yeah. I just think it's important that all the stakeholders that are part of this committee, I know we kind of selected them, that we don't have anyone that with just one single objective on there, for example, only wanting to focus on speeding cars. I'm just going to give that as an example, you know. I think this we need to think about this a little bit more holistically and a little bit broad. So as we're talking with people, if we identify that there's members of the committee that are just singly focused on one thing, we need to pay close attention to that. So
absolutely, it's a great point. And I think with any group like this, you want people to represent different perspectives. Everyone needs to kind of come out of their perspective as well to work as a group and really develop a rapport where they trust each other and kind of make this decision for South Jordan as a whole.
And on those representatives, I was just going to say, make sure there's someone who kind of watches out for maybe more the casual or the family that, you know, wants to ride their bikes, you know, and be able to connect throughout the city. Because a lot of times it seems like on active transportation, it's geared more at the true cyclists or the runners, not just those who want to go out on a family bike ride and be able to actually leave the Daybreak community and connect into a trail somewhere else in South Jordan, things like that.
And there's a lot of existing users, and you see a lot of kid trailers on bikes, families. And then I think that that need will only increase when those canal trails are formalized, mm-hmm. and there's going to be a lot more demand to access those yeah. along the shoreline.
Yeah.
So.
Good.
Yeah.
Good
I used to commute on that on my bike years ago, long time ago. But I can tell you the shoulders are very narrow on that road. I'm sure you've seen that already, but I came close to being hurt seriously a few times because of how narrow the shoulders are. Mm-hmm.
I would have came and got you on my way to work, Don.
Well, thank you for this. Thank you for the process. Thank you for coming and walking us through it and telling us what it's going to look like. And appreciate the significant public engagement and the stakeholders from the area. That's good. So if you guys want to work on this, we'll see what we can do about getting, like, it's replaying in my mind 1,000 times. Speaker Wilson said, I'm giving you five lanes. And at the time, there was a council member in Harriman that didn't want it and was very vocal. And he said, no, listen, I'm giving it. We don't need it. Yes, you do. And I'm tired of you whining about not having access before your development goes in. I'm giving you five lanes. So we got to see what we can do to try to get U111 fixed. So you guys, thank you for taking this on. And we'll try to insert ourselves in fixing that back to what it was supposed to be. But thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your time.
Thanks
thank
for
you.
Everything. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Okay. We need to move into our next meeting, which we still can finish as soon as we want, I think. So is there a motion to adjourn?
So move.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Yeah.
All right. We are adjourned.